This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This has me very rattled.
Can you come in here, please?
What?
This is bad, 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 bad.
I'm officially out of control.
Stop thinking with your dick.
That's all right, I'll just attribute this to your drinking problem.
I could walk out of here and boom.
You're very unique.
Free yourself from the confines of the past. Here to guide us towards the life we want to live.
God's chose well.
Our compassionate counsellor, Stu Fenton.
Hi, this is Catherine Devaney. I know you've just got to run off and masturbate, but before you do, you're listening to Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice on Joy 94.9.
Certainly are. We are now going to have a little listen to something that I was a part of last night. It is the Hares and Hyenas Hold Up Winter Festival, and last night was their rabbit fire where 11 of us got up and spoke about sex for 6 minutes, pretty much. This little extract is from Furry LaFox. It is thought-provoking, challenging, and will lead into what we're going to talk to with Stu Fenton.
Hello. I'm pretty poly, which, despite the phrasing, doesn't relate to parrots, but my inner compulsion towards ethical non-monogamy. My first push towards non-monogamy was when I was around 19 and I got a crush outside of the relationship I was with. I loved this boy, Nico, but I wanted Walter with all the skin-tingling lust that a teenage girl's hormones can inflict upon her. I talked about it with Nico and I was granted permission to see Walter, only this was towing the line of poly as Nico was just acquiescing to my desires and so it wasn't particularly consensual. It was either have me the way I am or we break up. And ultimatums aren't the most conducive to a stable environment. But at 19, I hadn't fully grown a conscience yet. I just knew what I wanted and I pushed for it despite all parties involved. Needless to say, I ended up breaking two hearts pretty badly. For a long time, I wondered what the drive to cheat was. It's easy to separate out cheating from poly in a lot of people's minds for obvious reasons, but for me, the drive to be with more than one person was often confusing. My family, my friends, and my society all told me that it was because I hadn't found the right person yet. I hadn't found the person that I could love as hard and as long as I should for a proper relationship. Monogamy, it seemed, was a benchmark of love, the sacrifice that you gave each other. I dated a guy called Blast for over 3 years. When I gave him the nickname Mr., he tried to give me the nickname Mrs., which I balked at. I'm not your wife, mister, and you don't own me. And he said, yes, I do. But you own me too, and there's more of me, so you're getting a better deal. In the end, we both settled for calling each other mister, a precursor, I suppose, to my later gender ambiguity. The notion of ownership is one that I have a problem with in the nuclear family model. People become property, not free agents. I've spent my life being a round peg in a society full of holes. Everyone made for an ideal of a person instead of actual people. Nuclear families, monogamy, male and female, they're all social constructs and a language that we've built to try and understand ourselves and relationships between people. As part of my lived experience, I realized only recently that people like to know other people's sexual orientation, not necessarily out of sexual interest, but as a placement of themselves within a context. As despairing as I find boxes, they're nice to have because they make things easy when you fit into them. They're preset modus operandi that everyone knows the rules to. A friend of mine said, amongst her queer circles, she'd seen relationships torn apart because two politically minded people wanted to actively deconstruct the monogamy model. While I appreciate the sentiment to such an endeavor, the premise is obviously flawed. The implication in my friend's statement is that this non-monogamy wasn't something that these two parties felt inherently in tune with, but instead wished to turn their sex lives into political acts. For me, that would kind of be like a straight person declaring gay to be more involved with the cause. I respect the enthusiasm, but there are some often fatal flaws that will obviously bring about problems down the road. As lived experience, I feel like non-monogamy is a compulsion or a drive in me as natural as my sexual orientation. But the difficulty is, this means that I don't fit into a box. Monogamy equals no cheating. You can't get more of a boundary than that. You know exactly where you stand, and you know the consequences if you cross it. But for me, those are guidelines that I've struggled with and now have admitted not to wanting to adhere to. So where does this leave me? Throwing away the boxes means two things, ultimately. One, freedom. Two, too much freedom. Or maybe not too much freedom. But without those preset guidelines, you now have the formidable task of communicating, negotiating, discussing, and testing new boundaries. Communication is what I want. Discussing what that will mean, how we will feel, what are our limits. Negotiating where our boundaries collide, what are both of us willing to sacrifice if need be. And testing, finding someone who works with these guidelines, then more discussion, negotiating, and boundary setting, because an agreement between two people mightn't have the same goalposts as an agreement between the next partner. You can see why I say too much freedom. It's more like a heck ton of talking and pushing out into the darkness, not knowing what will happen next. But I guess that's what I feel like, a pioneer. Like someone who's willing to take risks to be true to themselves. Because at the end of the day, I believe that like family love and like friend love, romantic love can be doubled without needing to be halved.
Whilst Furry LaFox is not a gay man, she did bring up a number of interesting issues regarding monogamy and regarding relationships.
That's right. Polyamory and multiple partner relationships. You know, what is the difference between romantic love and platonic love and sexual attraction? Are they one and the same thing?
What's wrong with a good fuck?
That's right. So, here to join us to have that discussion...
It's Stu Fenton. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, Stu, relationships take many forms, and at the end of the day, it really is the bond between two people, is it not?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, I think the value in any sort of relationship is the connection and the quality of the connection.
So why do we go about fucking that up 10 times in a lifetime?
What's that?
Why do we stuff that up all the time?
Why do we? Well, I mean, I've just been listening to the audio you sent me. Is that what we're talking
about? Yes.
Well, I mean, I thought that was really interesting because I think there is a bit of a tradition of, you know, determining what a relationship is and what a healthy relationship is. And I guess when I'm talking about relationships, I'm not only talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about work and family and everything in between, you know. Mm. And I think perhaps part of that is expectation of what it's meant to be. Like, I really enjoyed listening to that the clip that you sent to me, because here's a woman that really knows her needs and you know what works for her, and she, you know, it sounds as though she really struggled to be able to be okay with that, and she, in the face of meeting so many people who judged her for it, and it was kind of like a beautiful story of identity and getting to know oneself and to know what one needs. So I think, you know, like judgments and, you know, growing up in a family or a society that tells you how you should be in relationship can be quite destructive.
Here's the thing. I grew up in a relatively normal family. I mean, there's stuffed in the head as everybody else. But the idea of monogamy never was part of my psyche growing up. It was like, why would I ever want to have one thing when I can have hundreds of things? That was like my 14-year-old rationale, and it hasn't really moved on much from that, to be quite honest.
Well, I noticed that you said, why would I have one thing when I could have hundreds of things? But I couldn't really, you know, add to the conversation without knowing what things is for you.
Well, no, I mean, in a sense of monogamy, why would one conform to other people's expectations if it wasn't coming from a place of authenticity within?
Well, why? The question why, I mean, that one seems easy to answer, I guess, because when we grow up and we're little people in families that have values and whatever, especially gay people in straight families, you know, we grow up to a greater degree believing that what our family has done is the way it is done. And that's what stands out to me about the audio clip, is that this girl was able to challenge that at some point, you know, especially when she talked about that relationship where she was with Mr. and he wanted to her to be Mrs. and whatever, and her noticing her own discomfort with that. And I think that's the key, is that we all get it. Like you just said, you know, when you grow up in your family, why have one when you can have 100? That's what you noticed inside yourself. And I think unless we're hurting ourselves or someone else in the process, it's really important to listen to our intuition and listen to our feelings so that we can make those decisions of what our actual needs are.
It's interesting, that thing around property and ownership that that is so much a part of a relationship.
Well, yeah, can be. I know, and can be, for sure. And, you know, like, I guess the other thing too is so many people grow up with issues about believing that if they own someone, or what does it mean if I'm with a partner who wants to, you know, be in an open relationship. I mean, a few of the clients that I have, one in particular that I'm thinking of, definitely has struggled with that. And, you know, like, as much as I will support someone who wants to have many partners or be in an open relationship if that's what fits for them, I'll support that. At the same time, if someone is monogamous and they're trying to force themselves to be in an open relationship and they're in a lot of pain, I'll support them to be monogamous as well. You know, I don't think one size fits all by any means.
And a lot of that's to do with the capacity of an individual to separate between, let's say, sex and lust meaning also romantic love, I guess, and also platonic love.
Look, I think that's probably the most important point here, because, you know, otherwise we're saying everyone is getting into a romantic relationship because they value sex as much as they value companionship, as much as they value lust, as much as they value whatever the other thing is, you know, that you can get from a relationship, when the truth is we all place value differently on different things. Like, some people, sex isn't all that for them, but companionship is, so that it's going to be important for them to find a mate who has the same values. And then you're going to find people, and which is very common on the gay scene, that just love having sex and they want to have a lot of sex. And there's a lot of partners out there who make relationships work in open relationships. You have to just get in touch with what is true for you. I think that's the important part.
And then be honest about it.
And absolutely be honest about it. And that is really difficult, because what happens is people meet each other and they just love certain things about the other person. And then they find out 2 or 3 weeks into, you know, the new relationship they've started, that person A is like, well, I like to be in an open relationship. And person B has already, you know, projected onto them the fact that they're going to have a, you know, a house and a white picket fence and a dog. And
I really liked your lasagna.
Well, exactly. And so, and that's where it becomes distressing, because by that time they've already, you know, created their whole future together, and they've got to either, like you said, not tell the truth and say, oh, I want an open relationship too, and then be in a lot of pain and go through a lot of trauma, or, you know, say, you know what, I really am attracted to you, but this, I can't live with this. I know myself too well, and let it walk away from it.
Stu Fenton is our compassionate counsellor. Perhaps you've got a question you'd like to pose to him, or perhaps you would like to contribute to this conversation. What does monogamy mean to you? What does a relationship mean to you? Get in contact with us. This is how you do it.
Hide and seek.
Come on, man.
Joy. 1-300-JOY-949.
Come on!
SMS 0427-JOY-949.
Come on!
Email onair@joy.org.au.
Come on! Come on!
Delete addictions. Boost your self-esteem. Reconcile those relationships. Here to guide us, Stu Fenton.
You're on Joy 94.9 at Hide and Seek with Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Beck. I mean, joined on the line by Stu Fenton asking, what are the kind of relationships gay men have? Stu, we're talking about a bit of the difference between romantic love and platonic love and companionship and sex.
Getting root.
Do you have any top tips for negotiating the how do you work out the difference between what is happening when you meet someone? Are you going to be with this person because of their companionship, or do you just want to fuck them?
What about
them,
that trade what? You just pick up and then they fall madly in love with you in like in 30 seconds? What's that about?
Well, you've asked me two questions. I don't want to answer. I don't want to answer Dean. I don't want to answer Andrew.
Yeah, no, yeah, do that. Good. Do that.
I guess what comes to my mind is it's about honesty, really. And you know, like I think, and I'm going to be a little bit general here, but I think traditionally gay men have this habit of, you know, spotting someone on the dance floor or seeing someone in a wherever on the street or whatever, and you know, like. You know, you end up having sex fairly shortly after that. And then because you've made that, having sex is quite an intimate act. It's quite a big thing, and it means different things to different people. So for some people that will mean, okay, we're a couple now, or, you know, this means that because they've wanted to have sex with me, they're in their boots and all, when that's not necessarily the fact. For the other person, sex might just be something that I do with different people on a different day. So people look through different lenses. So the reason I say honesty is the key. It's, you know, like, and it's a bit of a tricky thing for gay people to do, is just to be right up front and just say, you know what, I'm really attracted to you and I'm really keen to fuck. But, you know what, I just need you to know that I do this pretty regularly with most people, so I don't want you to think that there's a relationship perhaps going to happen here, you know, and that at least gives the other person the opportunity to make a choice about that. The other side of this too is, you know, like, I just think two people being really honest with each other when they meet gives both parties the best chance of getting what they want, you know. And I think that is a difficult thing when people meet and when gay men meet, is to be honest from the start.
And I mean, you've had, you know, guys say to me that, you know, after a breakup in particular, it was, you know, the sex was great at the beginning, and then
you're boring.
Then we fell into a you know, companionship, but we fell in love, but then it was really just companionship, and there's not that honesty at the beginning of the relationship to say, okay, we're having sex and the sex is great, but we're not connecting on another level, and it's really just a friendship.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it takes both parties to notice what's happening too, and to be really clear about that. I think one of the hardest experiences for anyone to be able to tolerate, and that's not just gay men, is rejection. And, you know, in the situation you're talking about, which seems to be fairly common and has been in my experience, is that it's quite easy to meet someone and start a sexual relationship. But it doesn't take long to discover, oh, we have different values, or we see things differently in the world, or he does something that I don't think I could tolerate living with him. And, you know, those things just take time to happen. I mean, when I've been to, you know, conferences where there have been lectures on gay male relationships, one of the key ideas in those is that a lot of gay men don't actually do things in the right order, you know, like that. What a gay people will often do is first have sex, and then start to get to know each other, and then find out their other person's name.
Well, at least you then want to know if you want to, you know their name.
Okay, so that's a big positive for you. but you know, like, really, if you want to sort this stuff out gradually as you go, then maybe what you might do first is find out the person's name and then get to know them, and then later down the track you might have sex with them when you've got some of the information, and especially if you're thinking of turning it into a relationship or hoping to.
And is that I suppose leads a bit into my next question about, I'm guessing that is where multiple partner relationships works for some people, because they have the capacity to, they've worked out what they want, whether they're companions or whether they're, you know, romantic lovers. And then being able to bring in sex into different areas or bring in companions into different areas of a relationship.
Well, yeah, and I think when I've experienced those kind of relationships that are functional, what I often hear is the common thread is that both parties, especially the two original parties, are always being honest with each other. Or they have things like bottom lines or cut-off plans whereby if they're having someone over for a three-way, they'll check in with each other. Are you comfortable with this? Are you comfortable with this? And then if they're not, they just... And they're also upfront with the third party too, so that there's never any, like, really shocking surprises or rejections that, you know, are going to cause trouble. And, again, it comes back to that point of just being really honest.
But the other thing is, surely, that you can have a... if you like, a monogamous relationship of the heart, but a physical relationship that has no bounds.
Well, yeah, and, you know, like, I guess there are people who can make that stuff work. And, I mean, and I guess I'm talking from my own personal experience here, but, you know, especially when I was very, you know, getting around sexually a lot in my 20s and early 30s, I would often meet these partners who, you know, I would have a three-way with, and they would talk about that stuff that, you know, like, I know I'm going home with him at the end of the night, or, you know, no matter who we sleep with, we know that we have this strong relationship. And I've seen some of those relationships last for decades, you know, and I think they definitely are workable, but you just have to know you're the kind of person that can do that. And I think there definitely are people out there that can do that, but you have to also know yourself if you're not the kind of person that can do that and you're forcing yourself to, and I think that's a life of pain.
Stu, I note to finish on, this has come through from a listener on 0427 Joy 949.
Monogamy is my hand, relationship for me, my dildo.
Stu Fenton, it's always a delight to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Hide and Seek this evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Chat to you soon.
Gain peace and joy with clarity and insight. Check out Stu Fenton's website, practicalpowerforgaymen.com.
You are listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Coming up very shortly, Louise Bauscher will be joining us and we'll be talking more sex, funnily enough.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.